Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you, filling in for John Hockenberry. Well, last month in Boston, it saw one of the most extensive manhunts in that city's history, following, of course, the Marathon bombings. And within days of the attacks, two suspects were identified following an intense firefight with the police. One of the accused, Tamerlan Tsarnaev, was killed, and the other suspect, his younger brother, Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, was eventually captured. But just how did investigators crack this case? And there's a new NOVA documentary produced by our partner WGBH in Boston exploring the role of high-tech tools along with good, old-fashioned, solid police work. The film investigates the painstaking work of law enforcement officials, including Boston Police Superintendent Bill Evans, who had run in the Boston Marathon himself the very morning of the bombing. Evans finished the race and was later called back, this time to work at what had turned into a devastating crime scene. Listen.
I had just run down the street probably an hour and a half before this, and it was such a festive occasion. And now to look up the street and see, unfortunately, those young victims still laying on the street, and to see windows smashed, the barriers blown out into the street, it was sad, is what it was.
Miles O'Brien is the producer and director of NOVA's documentary Manhunt, The Boston Bombers. The film airs on PBS stations tonight. Hi, Miles.
Hi, Todd.
Great to talk to you again. Miles, Bill Evans is one of the main characters in your story, and the most interesting thing about him, among a lot of things, is that he is not Mr. Technology. He's not Mr. Gadget or Mr. Facial Recognition. He's good old-fashioned police work who's operating in a new world.
Yeah, as he told me, he's not a CSI guy. He likes the technology. That's fine by him. But in the end, when you look at how this investigation finally came to a conclusion, it took a lot of shoe leather, a lot of good police work by human beings in conjunction with some pretty amazing tools.
One of the most interesting and important parts is where you start the film, which is the explosives guys and I guess maybe in Texas or somewhere in the West, in the desert, where they blow up a lot of things and study the marks on them. And this was indispensable in recovering the pieces of those pressure cooker bombs that were so important here.
Yes, Todd, about 1,500 of the first responders in Boston got their training from this place in New Mexico, New Mexico Tech, where they teach them how to, well, first and foremost, be careful when you approach a scene where there has been a bomb, because secondary explosions are, of course, a big concern. Take care of the injured, but also preserve the forensic evidence. The thing that I take away from that is so interesting is when you think of an explosion, you think, well, what sort of evidence could there be? It's been blown up. But each and every piece of those bombs, those pressure cookers, exist. If you look long enough, you can actually, like you would an airplane after a crash, rebuild that bomb and get a sense of what happened, how it was built, and potentially find some clues.
Well, let's hear from one of your experts who does that very thing and looks for the clues on those cookers. Listen.
The fact that they were two for two kind of indicates to me that it was a little bit more than luck. And the fact that they were so close together, you know, 10 seconds, 10 to 15 seconds away, is essentially simultaneous. To me, it indicates some level of sophistication.
Miles O'Brien, that's Van Romero. He's one of the world's leading experts on explosions, talking about how the way the explosions went off led him to think in a new way about who was building these bombs and how sophisticated they were.
Well, the pressure cooker bomb, Todd, is widely used as an instrument of terror all over the world. When he saw the explosion at Boston, Van Romero, he saw that white smoke, and he immediately, as an expert, said, oh, that's black powder, that's gunpowder. And his next reaction was, oh, there's probably a pipe bomb, because pipe bombs are much more commonly used here in the U.S. But then he looked at the debris pattern, the number of windows broken, and he said, you know, this is much bigger than a pipe bomb. And that's what led him to a hunch that it was a pressure cooker bomb. Not long thereafter, technicians and forensics investigators found a lid of a pressure cooker on the roof of a six-story hotel on Boylston Street, and that confirmed his hunch.
Miles O'Brien, what was interesting to me is that investigators in Boston don't have the ability to watch at one time hundreds or thousands of street cameras to try to get these composite views. They had to do something a lot more sort of mundane to get good images of the crime. But you visited New York, here in New York, where police do have the ability to watch thousands and thousands and thousands of cameras all at once and use a lot of technology to basically watch us all the time. And I found that chilling.
Yes, it's a little bit creepy, isn't it, Todd? You know,
it's more than a little bit creepy, and it's troubling, to be honest with you.
Well, there's a lot of things we need to be discussing about this, because we have created this sort of big brother state in the wake of 9/11. And it does, in the end, help us become more secure. But we're headed down a slippery slope where we're just watching everyone all the time. And that's a scary thing. When you go to the Domain Awareness Command Center at the foot of Broadway in New York, and you look at 4,000 cameras feeding in there, and the fact that they scan every driver's license plate that comes into the lower part of Manhattan every day, the fact that they have the ability to punch in, show me all the red shirts near the New York Stock Exchange, and they come up within seconds, and you can see it live. It's astounding, actually. And I think it's, this is where policing is headed. This is where our country is headed. We've created this infrastructure where we're surveilling each other. And I think it's time we have a discussion about where we're headed with all this.
Another interesting part of this, one that turned out very negatively in this story, was another piece of technology, and it's the internet. It's the hive mind, the crowdsourcing, where people on websites like Reddit got to work looking at publicly available photos, thinking they were helping suss out who was to blame here, who were the perpetrators, and it all went wrong, Miles.
In a very ugly way. You know, we talk about the wisdom of the crowds a lot. Sometimes it's just the crowds. And sometimes the crowds can turn into a witch hunt very quickly. And that's what we saw. And, we talk about a 24-hour news cycle. These days, it's about a 24-second news cycle. And when things go wrong and things go off the rail, it happens a lot faster, a lot quicker, and has bigger consequences than ever before.
Were there any lessons learned? I mean, there's really doesn't seem like there's any way to prevent social websites like that from getting on the case, even if they're doing it in a harmful way.
We can't control the internet. We just have to make people realize that doing this has real-world consequences, and people could have gotten hurt.
Well, there's lots of old-world policing. There's lots of new-world technology involved in Manhunt, the Boston bombers. It all combines into one brew that helped investigators in Boston, both federal, state, and local, catch the bombers relatively quickly. But if you watch the documentary, you'll realize that a lot of the technology in use, even facial recognition, isn't quite as good as we think it is. And Miles O'Brien, you helped us understand that in Manhunt, the Boston bombers. Thanks, Miles.
You're welcome, Todd.
It's on PBS Tonight. Check your local listings.